Let's get our Bibles out and open to 1 Kings chapter 8. Thank you, Shoshana. 1 Kings. So the title of this talk is Open Eyes. So it's a little bit, it wasn't my intention, but it's a little bit of a flow on from Wednesday. 1 Kings chapter 8. And verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 1. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. And all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto King Solomon at the feast in the month Ethanim, which is the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark. And they brought up the ark of the Lord, and the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle, even those did the priests and the Levites bring up. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place, into the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. For the cherubims spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark, and the staves thereof above. And they drew out the staves, that the ends of the staves were seen out in the holy place before the oracle, and they were not seen without. And there they are unto this day. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone, which Moses put there at Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel, when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. An amazing thing to witness here, where it was King David's plan to build a more solid house for the Lord, and here was the moment where the Ark of the Covenant was placed in the Temple of Solomon, and the Lord basically gave a thumbs up and said, "Well done, you know, you've done the right thing, you've done everything as per my rules and instructions, you know, with the priests carrying things and presenting it under the cherubims and so forth." And he gave the thumbs up and filling the holy place with a cloud, and it filled the house of the Lord, so much so that people could not stand and minister in that place. So it was a wonderful time, and this was where the Lord dwelt, as we heard a couple of Sundays ago in the afternoon. This is where the Lord dwelt, and he proved himself. And then over the years, as we know, there was various kings and so forth that reigned over the house of Israel and the house of Judah. But go to 2 Chronicles chapter 28. Remember, the title of this talk is Open Eyes. 2 Chronicles chapter 28. And verse 22. So 2 Chronicles chapter 28, and we'll start in verse 22. "And in the time of his distress did he trespass yet more against the Lord." This is that King Ahaz. So King Ahaz, as all people, subject to distresses and worries and concerns. But during those times, he still trespassed more and more against the Lord. Verse 23, "For he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus, which smote him. And he said, because the gods of the kings of Syria help them, therefore will I sacrifice to them, that they may help me. But they were the ruin of him and of all Israel. And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God, and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God, and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, and he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem. And in every several city of Judah he made high places to burn incense unto other gods, and provoked to anger the Lord God of his fathers. So the reason I chose this scripture was that passage where he shut up the house of the Lord. And you can imagine he's just really annoyed at the Lord. He tears everything up. He breaks all the holy vessels and all those things, and he shuts up the house of the Lord. Okay, it's like he just pushed the Lord aside. I don't want to see you. I don't want anything to do with you. And he shut it up in a very physical sense. The dwelling place of the Lord. It started out as very open. You know, when Solomon was there, he brought all of Israel, all the elders, to Jerusalem, and it was a wonderful thing of rejoicing and feasting. And it was very open, and great joy, and a marvelous sight. And here, by this stage, the king has shut it up. It's like he's closed his eyes to the Lord. And even so destroyed the things of the Lord, the things that the Lord sanctified, the things the Lord blessed. He just cut in pieces. I don't know whether he did it in a fit of rage, an annoyance at the lack of work the Lord was doing in his life. But we know he wasn't following it beforehand, and he just shut it aside. He closed his eyes. Whereas in the time of Solomon, their eyes were open. And in a very physical sense, how the temple was presented in that way. Judges chapter 6. This is the story of Gideon. But we'll read just a couple of verses. Judges chapter 6 and verse 11. So Judges chapter 6 and verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained to Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valour. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us, and where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him, and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I'll be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. So here, in this theme that I've established, the comparison of Solomon's time through to King Ahaz's time, and how the eyes were open and then the eyes were shut. It's a time of distress for the nation of Israel. And what this angel of the Lord, or the Lord, is saying to Gideon is like, open your eyes, okay? Open your eyes, Gideon. Go in this, your might. You've got this might. Just open your eyes, and the Lord can work with you. And even Gideon asked for a sign. I want something to see. I want something to see to show me that the Lord's working for me and is on my side. Okay? Something to see. And so it was almost as if he was encouraged by the Lord to open his eyes. Okay, show me something then. I'm ready. Because he even said, look, the angel of the Lord said to him, go in this thy might. There was something burning in Gideon that drove him to want to see the miracles in God's chosen people that the fathers used to talk about. You know, once upon a time, we've heard the stories. But I want to see them now. And in this thy might, open your eyes and see what the Lord can do for you. Over to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And, as we know, in any account in the scriptures, it's no mistake why the Lord put it there. And here, the conversion of Paul. We'll start in verse 1. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard many things by this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I'll show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Okay, in a very physical sense, the scales fell from Saul's eyes. His eyes were open. It's like the Lord was showing Paul and us, you know, that the life he led before that, he was blind. He wasn't seeing. He was doing things in his own strength. He wasn't following God's ways. And he was blinded to God's ways. In his fervor, he was completely blinded to the truth. And in a very physical sense, the scales fell from his eyes, and the Lord knew that he could now see. His eyes were open. And it says straightway he went and preached Christ in the synagogues after he'd received the Holy Ghost and after he was baptized by full immersion. But here as well in verse 5, this great saying, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And it's like King Ahaz, he was completely kicking against the pricks. He refused to do what the Lord wanted him to do. And he was just getting into more and more trouble. And Paul, he was getting into more and more, or Saul was getting into more and more trouble because he kept kicking against the pricks. And he was hurting himself. He was hurting his relationship with the Lord. And the Lord was saying, look, just stop. Stop kicking against the pricks. You know, follow my way. Open your eyes. See clearly. See clearly so that then it's not hard for you. Okay? I want you to open your eyes and I want you to see clearly. Matthew chapter 13. Read this out on Wednesday. Matthew 13. And we'll start in verse 10. So Matthew chapter 13 and verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar just famously said to about Daniel that he dissolves mysteries, a revealer of secrets even. But to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. You know, there's a little hint there to use what we've got, otherwise it'll be taken away. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you'll hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. So blessed are your eyes and ears, because they're open, okay? And people who consciously close their eyes and close their ears, they are leaving the benefit of the Lord to the side. And the benefit, he says here, understanding, you know, understanding about the kingdom of God, being converted, you know, and being healed. And that can encompass so many things. Healed of our ways, healed in our body, healed our mind, just healed, lifted up, you know, and they're good things. So the Lord's saying, look, open your eyes, keep them open. Blessed we are because we see and hear, we understand, we grab hold of, we apply in our life. And that's that desire I love hearing in the saints, you know, I just have this desire to do it, desire to be a part of the meetings, desire to get the word out. That desire comes from our eyes being open and our ears being opened, because we can see clearly our position in the kingdom of God and what the Lord's done for us, and understand these things and want to continually apply them, so that we're continually refreshed and built up and healed. Healed in mind, body, soul. Simple as that. If we keep our eyes open. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And there's a implied in that is just a lot of humility. Humility, okay, the Lord wants this in my life. I'll leave my eyes open and my ears open to what the Lord wants in my life and have that attitude of humility. So 1 John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So there's a type there that you can have your eyes and ears closed to the things of the Lord because you've got your eyes and ears so open to the things of the world. Okay? And so we want our eyes and ears open to the things of the Lord. So in a way, what it's saying here is close your eyes and ears to the spirits of the world. And we talk about clarity here, and it's just such a clear thing. If you're of the Lord, you won't be of the world. And those of the world won't hear you. It's only those that are of the Lord, the chosen by God, that will hear us. But here in verse 1, it says, try the spirits. The spirits. the spirits that can be like advice, ways of life. You know, try them. Is that from God or is it from the world? You know, and the classic examples of the spirits of the world, you know, the lifestyle, the drinking, the drug taking, the wisdom in immorality, you know. Before coming to the Lord, I mean, I remember being in rooms and people discussing philosophically about all these immorality and the wisdom behind it and how good these things are for people and all this sort of jazz. And it's the wisdom, it's the spirit of the world. And with clarity, we believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. We grab hold of the good spirit of the Lord. And to educate us, we've got a book, a Bible, where we can read through and get clarity to try the spirits. And we've got the Holy Spirit in us to help us to understand these words that have been spiritually inspired, so that then we are open to the things of the Lord, but closed to the wisdom of the world when it fights against what God advises. And praise the Lord, we love that. And that's why we churn our way through this book. We continue with our fellowship, where iron sharpens iron, so that we have clarity of what the Spirit of God is teaching us. So we... We be naive of the things of the world. We don't need to understand everything of the world. We just need to understand everything of the Lord, so that then when the spirits, the advice and so forth that pull us away of the things of the world, we have clarity of understanding and say, nah, that's not it. I don't understand it, but I know it's not of God. Because we have maintained our eyes open to the things of the Lord. And to segue into the next scripture, if we have this clarity, the Lord will provide a pathway in the wall of the world around us. So let's go to Exodus chapter 14. And think of it on those lines as we read these words. God's chosen people, Exodus 14. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 10. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Their eyes were open to the things of the world, and they closed to the miracles of the Lord. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Down to verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. And the wind is likened to the Spirit, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Okay, the world... And the waters, all the waters of the world, that's all the people of the world, it's referenced elsewhere in the scriptures, were a wall unto God's chosen people. But their pathway was clear, firm and straight, where the Spirit of the Lord went before them. Where the Spirit of the Lord went before them. And if you read on, you know, the Egyptians, which was their past, Israel's past was in Egypt, and the people of Egypt represents the world. They came in and followed, but what happened? They got gobbled up by the world itself. You know, the world destroyed itself, but Israel was free because they opened their eyes and saw the salvation of the Lord. and was focused on that salvation of the Lord. John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse 5. So John chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 5. Then cometh he, Jesus Christ, to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, about midday. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Down to verse 20. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We love this concept, and we quote it when we're witnessing to people, you know, that God's a spirit. It makes sense. If we want to worship God is a spirit, we need the spirit. But then there's that added bit to it, worshipping in truth. You know, worshipping in truth and following his ways. But here, it's obviously significant that Jesus sat on the well, which was near a parcel of ground that Jacob gave to Joseph. So here, the Samaritans were now there. You know, ultimately descended from the Assyrians, but they were there worshipping how they thought in this historical place. And Jesus Christ was saying, look, that's in the past now. Forget about that. Look to the future, because the time of the future, which now is to worship him in spirit and in truth. Open your eyes to that. Open your eyes to this wonderful way where God now will find a dwelling place within a people, not in a building, as in Solomon's time. He was not dwelling in the temple that existed at this time, but he dwelt in Solomon's time, as we read. But today he dwells within a people. The movement of the Spirit within a people. Mark chapter 16. And we get that clarity of trying the spirits if we walk in spirit and in truth. And these signs, as we read with Gideon, show me a sign. We all want a sign. We're human beings. We're all like Gideon. We want something. What is the sign? Even the people in Jesus' time asked him, what is the sign that you'll give me? They were after a sign. So God knows us. He knows what we need. We need a sign. We need something to see with clarity that it's from God. And here, Mark 16 clearly says, as we start in verse 14, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. He was annoyed at them because their eyes were still shut. Their ears were still shut. He wanted their eyes to be open to see the glory of the kingdom of God, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. It's like they saw, and we read the account, like summarized in that one verse is the account we often read in Acts chapter 2, that after they were converted, they went forth and preached the gospel everywhere. They could see clearly now. Jesus had no need to upbraid them for lack of belief because they believed. Signs were following those who believe, and not only with the disciples, but also signs were following those others that believed their word with the foundation that they laid. And these signs with clarity. And yeah, this belief thing, so many people believe. It's easy to believe. So easy to say you believe. But even the devils believe, as Ali often quotes. Even the devils believe. So it's no big deal to believe. What is a big deal is signs follow those who believe and trust in and obey the word of God. And these are those signs. Praise the Lord that we have that vision. Our eyes are open and our ears are open. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Just amazing. And then, as we know, there was confusion, but Peter stood up full of the Holy Ghost and explained what it all meant to give them clarity of direction with hope that their eyes will be open. So verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. We all saw it. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. Open your eyes. This is what you see. So in the physical sense, the people around could see and hear what was going on. But what the Lord wanted, he wanted their eyes to be open so that they understood. So they understood what was going on. And so at the start, their eyes were figuratively closed because they were confused. What's going on here? The Lord wants the scales off their eyes. And so Peter explained it all and brought it all together, brought scriptures from the Old Testament together to explain, hoping that their eyes will be open. And a lot of them were touched, as it says in verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? We want to see. We want to hear. We want to understand. Then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words he did testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Push the world aside. Let it pile up around, but let us walk with clarity on firm ground, with confidence before the Lord. And let the world destroy itself behind us. So save yourselves. See clearly. Let the Spirit of God move in your life. Just one verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. One verse here. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And verse 17. It's an important fact for us all to remember as we get kind of, well, we feel burdens every now and again. The Lord here says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, did I say 2? Yep, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, freedom, peace, comfort, good things. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. If there is no liberty, try the Spirit. The spirit that is taking away our liberty is not of God. Okay, so I remember years ago I was going through this thing and I was lying in bed and I'm just feeling horrible. And I praised the Lord. I thought, no, wait a minute, that's not the spirit of the Lord. The spirit of the Lord is peace and comfort and joy and liberty. So that thought process, the thing that was affecting me so much, was able to package it up and say, no, that's not of the Lord. It's of me or of the world. Because that's a clear thing the Lord wants us to see and understand. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's freedom. There is a good thing. Penultimate scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. So 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. So temperance, such an important thing. It's the Lord wants us to have a good temper, not a bad temper. So be temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So we don't beat the air. What's the point in beating the air? There's a warning, I can't remember where in the Old Testament, when you swipe the sword, let it make contact, because what's the point in swiping a sword in the air? It's no point. So the Lord's saying, with certainty, open our eyes, keep our eyes open. The Lord's opened them for us. Keep them open, that we may walk and run with certainty, that we may obtain an incorruptible crown. Praise the Lord for that. And we are where. Wise in the things of the Lord, but naive in the things of the world. Finish up Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. A couple of wonderful verses here. Verse 1. So Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison. Okay, so Jeremiah here physically was shut up in the court of the prison. Okay, he can't go anywhere. He's in a destitute place. And we, in a way, we've been set free spiritually, but carnally, we're still inside this body. We're still in this world. We can't wait to go home. We're ambassadors in a foreign country. We belong with the Lord. We don't belong here. So we're in this place, in this world, and the Lord's encouraging Jeremiah like he's encouraging us. Verse 2, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the creator thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Open your eyes, the Lord wants to show us great things. Okay, Lord, show me, and I want to see it. I want to experience it. I want to understand it. Be with us continually and continue to show the way and continue to save us and continue to allow us to grow in understanding the things of the Lord. God wants to show us great and mighty things, and we have the attitude, show us, bring it on. Bring it on, Lord. What do you have to show us? What do you have for us to experience? Thank you.